Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Friday, TGIF, August 2nd, 2024, 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour 2 of the big program, high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. Mostly sunny day here in Madison. Absolutely gorgeous. A great first couple. The dog days of August, Mr. Zommers, are already upon us.
I guess so.
How about that? Although it's going to cool down, I think, a little bit into the 70s next week.
Boy, am I looking forward to that.
I bet you will.
I've been stepping outside and swimming the last few days.
I particularly like their couch, by the way. The J.D. Vance, J. Davenport couch.
Just Davenports is what JD stands
just
for.
Just Davenports, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Luke brought that up when I came in. He was like, Aaron, surprised you're supporting JD Vance like that. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, they have a couch on your shirt. And I was like, oh no, I need to burn this shirt.
It's fantastic. I love it.
It's a different couch. In Lawrence University in the Conservatory of Music, there are two couches in the basement, and that's where like everybody hangs out in between music classes and stuff. So it's the Khan couches, and this is an illustration on my shirt. It says the Khan, one of the Khan couches.
It has a whole new meaning these days, because J.D. Vance is kind of a Khan.
Definitely. I may need to limit where I wear this shirt,
but it fits,
and not wear it around any seating.
But it fits in nicely with what we're going to talk about now. And by the way, coming up at the bottom of the hour, or just after, Keegan Kelly of Cracked.com, a great new article there at Cracked, something on the lighter side. So we got something lighter to talk about coming up after 1:30. But right now, talking of cons, speaking of cons, big con in the 3rd Congressional District. Western, if you're not familiar, Western Wisconsin, where I was born and raised in Richland Center, Wisconsin, proud of it. Most of my political life, Richland County has been in the 3rd District. Been in parts or all of it have been in the 2nd District, which is based in Madison as well, most of the time in the 3rd. And right now, the incumbent congressperson in the 3rd District is a con named Derek Van Orten. Do nothing, as I like to call him, do nothing Derek Van Orten, because he really can't point to anything he's done in his 2 years of Congress.
Or as Trigvy called him, Derek Van Odd One.
Yeah, that too. Very odd, this guy. Here's a guy, Derek Van Orten, who loves to beat up on kids in the verbal sense. And he does not, and the thing is, we repeat this because he does not deny it. He admits that he does this, but he makes excuses for it. He's out of Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, which is at the confluence of the Wisconsin and Mississippi River in southwest Wisconsin. He went into the local library in Prairie du Chien and berated and verbally abused a young female librarian because they had a Gay Pride Month display at the library. Checked out basically all the books they could on Gay Pride. Maybe he wanted to learn something. I don't know. Then, of course, he berated teenage pages in the U.S. Capitol, the Rotunda, because they were taking photos lying on their back, as many people do, to take photos to take home as souvenirs on the next to last day of their time being pages in Washington, D.C. Verbally abused them, dropped the F-bomb multiple times, dropped the S-word for crap multiple times, degraded them, doesn't deny any of this. After he'd been drinking in his office with constituents, he was arrested by TSA for trying to having a gun before he flew. Yet he likes to tout the fact he was a Navy SEAL. And of course, I'm a big fan of veterans. I'll never dispute that. But the odd thing is, one of the odd things is, unlike John McCain or John Kerry, he can't seem to find any of the people that he served with to stand behind him and endorse him as a member of Congress. And then he comes home to Wisconsin and goes to allegedly to Quick Trips, although I think he buys his coffee at Citgo, and puts on a baseball cap and hugs a dog in front of the flag and seems to be like a nice grandpa. But that's not who this guy is. He is a demeaning verbal abuser who has virtually no congressional record. And so this is a guy that we need out of Congress. He is not representing Wisconsin well. He's not representing the U.S. well. And so the Democrats have three candidates to take him on. There's a Democratic primary coming up a week from this Tuesday on the 13th of August. Don't forget, everyone should go vote regardless of where you live in Wisconsin, because there are two constitutional amendments. We're not going to get into those now, but I would encourage you to vote no on both of those. But in the 3rd District, you have three people vying to run. Rebecca Cook of the Eau Claire area. She was basically the runner-up 2 years ago to Brad Paff, state senator of La Crosse, who got the Democratic nomination and lost to Van Orden. She is a waitressing part-time as well, grew up on a farm. Katrina Shanklin, she is a assembly person from the Stevens Point area, been on this program, great legislator, also has an ag background. And Eric Wilson, a younger guy, I believe from the Eau Claire area as well, is running, and nice guy. I just don't think he has a chance. He just doesn't have the organization or the money. So it's really going to come down to Rebecca Cook versus Katrina Shanklin. I want to get into this, but quickly, Susan had called before and had a quick promo for an event happening in Milwaukee, so I want to step away from the story just for give you a minute of airtime, Susan, because I know this is something important. What did you want to say quickly?
Oh, what I wanted to say is that I just wanted to let everyone know that we are having a March for Democracy Wisconsin at the state capitol on Tuesday from 4 to 6:30 p.m., and we are having a great lineup of speakers, including Maggie Dawn as our MC. And we have put together a group, a collective of folks to come and help us get out the vote. The end game on this is to get out the vote. Mm-hmm. The speakers are going to be addressing economic, environmental, and healthcare justice. And we're having the Raging Grannies doing the singing.
Okay.
And we also have a woman from the Arts for All, which is supports people with disabilities for dance, and she's going to be dancing.
That's great.
So anyway, it's going to be a great time.
Noon on Tuesday.
I appreciate the airtime.
Yep, noon on Tuesday, correct?
No, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock.
4 p.m. Tuesday. 4 p.m. On Tuesday.
4 p.m.
March for Democracy. Yes. Maggie Dawn is the MC. That'll be fantastic.
Yes. And that'll be at the state capitol, at the State Street entrance. Please come. Everybody come, please. We want to show... we want to show our elected officials that we have a lot of power in our vote, and that's what we want to do is get folks out to vote.
Thanks. Really appreciate it, Susan. Appreciate you taking the time to call in. We'll promo that Tuesday, March for Democracy, to get the vote out on Tuesday, the 13th of August.
Yes.
So very, very important day to go out and vote there. So back to this story in the 3rd Congressional District, Western Wisconsin. You got the Democratic side. Rebecca Cook, Katrina Shanklin, and Eric Wilson. So here, there's multiple sources have this story. I'm going to read the one from the local Channels 27 ABC News affiliate WKOW in Madison. Wisconsin Democrats are calling on one of their own to disavow dark money spending in the state's primary race for the 3rd Congressional District. Rebecca Cook, a Democrat running to be the Democratic candidate in the district, has come under fire from those running against her, as well as Representative Mark Pocan, the Democrat representing the 2nd Congressional District. Quote, Rebecca Cook in the 3rd Congressional District primary has broken our state's clean campaign tradition, unquote, Pocan said. Pocan has led several Democrats trying to decrying the influence of quote unquote dark money in the 3rd District's Democratic primary. The district represents much of western Wisconsin, including Eau Claire, La Crosse, Stevens Point, extending south to encompass Grant County, Richland County, parts of Iowa County as well. The winner of the August 3rd Democratic primary will go on to face the winner of the Republican primary, of course, who will be Derek Van Orten. The latest contest includes incumbent Representative Derek Van Orten, as we said earlier. So here, this is all about this thing called the Welcome Pack. The Welcome Pack, an organization that typically backs more conservative Democrats, has spent more than $170,000 on the race to help Cook. Now, listening earlier to our friend and colleague, Jane Matt Nair on Air with Greg Bach, had Mr. Dan Schaefer, the recombobulation area, on as well, talking about this race. Also, in addition to this Welcome PAC, a political organization who backs traditionally more conservative Democrats, the a group called the Blue Dog Democrats have also endorsed Cook. And according to Dan Schaefer, and I would back this up, the Blue Dog Democrats, not many of them left anymore, used to be a lot more of them in the South, were Democrats that were more fiscally Democratic, you know, or more socially on the progressive side, but on finances, more conservative. Blue Dog Democrats, they were called themselves. And you used to have, just like you used to have Republicans that were pro-choice, like my former boss, Scott Klug, who represented the 2nd District in Wisconsin in the 90s, you used to have Democrats who were pro-life. And these were Blue Dog, more conservative Democrats. So the Blue Dog Democrats and the Welcome PAC conservative Democrats have endorsed Rebecca Cook in the 3rd and given her quite a bit of money. And so now what's happening is that the more progressive Democrats, most of whom are based in the Madison area, including Congressman Mark Pocan, are going after Cook because she's taking this money. And they're calling it dark because, according to this story, its origins are difficult to trace. It says in the story, Welcome PAC is part of a political action committee that could give limited amounts of money directly to a candidate's campaign, and a super PAC capable of spending unlimited dark funds to support the candidate. This, of course, all comes in the wake of Citizens United versus Federal Elections Commission in 2010, the Supreme Court decision that ruled money was akin to free speech and therefore could be spent in unlimited quantities influencing elections. Federal law mandates super PACs and candidates can never coordinate. I'm going to step away from this story and just tell you my experience, because I have quite a bit of experience in this, as it turns out. I was born and raised in the 3rd District. I ran, my former boss, Dale Schultz, he was a state senator. He ran against Ron Kind in 2004 for Congress. I helped run that race, lost. Dale came closer than anybody else, actually, to Kind. I ran for state assembly in the 3rd in 2004. And lost. And I'll tell you partly why. And I'll tell you why the brain trust of the Democratic Progressive Party in Madison ain't quite in touch with Western Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the town where I was raised, the clock ticks and the cattle graze. Time passed with amazing grace back where I come from. Now you can lie on a riverbank, or paint your name on a water tank, or miscount all the beers you drank back where I come from. Back where I come from. Where I'll be when it's said and done. And I'm proud as anyone, that's where I come from.
Impeccable timing with music, Mr. Kenny Chesney, as dialed up by Mr. Aaron Zommers. Back Where I Come From, one of my favorite songs. I am from the 3rd Congressional District, born and raised, proud of it, Richland County. For most of my life, and the first campaign I ever worked on, 1980, when I was in 5th grade, went door to door and put up signs for Steve Gunderson, who won his first election to the 3rd District in the 3rd District congressional race. I know the district pretty well. So now the Democrats have this primary coming up in a couple of weeks, Rebecca Cook, Katrina Shanklin, and Eric Wilson. The more progressive Democrats in Madison, including Congressman Mark Pocan, have endorsed Katrina Shanklin, who is a great legislator who's been on this program. Katrina Shanklin is one of the few people on either side of the aisle who's taken any amount of seriousness to the closure of 2-year campuses across the state of Wisconsin, of which Richland County was a victim. She came out to Muscogee, just south of Richland Center in Grant County, along with Senator Kelda Royce. Did a great job listening to citizens. That was months ago. I thought that would be the kickoff. I thought they would repeat that. I thought Shankland would go and do that all over the district. I haven't heard that happening. So let me state, I think Katrina Shankland would be a great candidate against Derek Van Orten. She's a great state legislator. I think that whoever is advising her on her campaign has done a terrible job. They've run a terrible race. Mark Pocan is a great congressman. I endorsed him. I voted for him. I'm going to vote for him again. Had him on this program. Always appreciate him. He's welcome on this program anytime. I let their office know I was going to talk about this today. I agree with Mark Pocan about 90% of the time. Incidentally, the same amount of time I agreed with my former boss, Scott Kluge, when he was in Congress. You just don't agree all the time. You can disagree and not be disagreeable, right? But on this one, Congressman Pocan's just wrong. And why they're going, I mean, here's the thing. If Democrats have something on Rebecca Cook that they think is disqualifying, that will be easy for Derek Van Orten to beat her, now would be a good time to say that. Before the primary. Don't be cagey. But if they don't have some disqualifying information on Rebecca Cook, why would you go after her when the real target is Derek Van Orten? The progressives, I guess, don't like the fact that maybe Rebecca Cook just outflanked and outworked Katrina Shankland this race. I've been all over. And I know that not every single town, but I've been driving all over the 3rd District. We've been to Amory. We've been to Chippewa Falls. We've been to Eau Claire. We've been to River Falls. We've been to Richland Center. We've been to Wisconsin Dells. I get back to Richland Center at least a couple of times a month. My sister and her family live in Eau Claire. I have other friends and family throughout the 3rd District. I get there and have traveled this a lot. Rebecca Cook, and I get it. Look, I know more than anybody else. Yard signs don't vote. I just went through Stevens Point last weekend when I got lost on my way to my dad's. Had to end up going right through Stevens Point, where Katrina Shankland represents in the assembly. I went through campus. I went through residential areas. This was not on the periphery. Going through the heart of Stevens Point. Want to know how many Katrina Shankland for Congress yard signs I saw? One. If that's all the excitement you could have in your hometown, believe me, from someone who lost 2 assembly races, that ain't good. I lost an assembly race in the 96th Assembly District, which is in the 3rd, encompassed at the time parts of Richland County, Vernon, and Crawford, where Van Orten is living now. I talked about how I'd worked for Dale Schultz in the state Senate, how I worked for Congressman Kluge in Congress, how I knew this area, how I could work for constituents. And the guy who beat me by 2,000 votes, Lee Neerson, good guy, a lifelong farmer on the county board, Vernon County. And he would get up after I'd talk about all my experience, honest to God, hand of the Bible. This is what he said. He'd say, well, I'm not a politician here like Todd, but, you know, I'm running for this office because, you know, I need the health insurance. That's what he said. And he beat me. And you want to know why? Because Lee was a good old boy who understood his district and had relationships. My part of the Richland County only had like 5 or 6 townships where I was from. The rest of it was all newer area for me. And so this whole narrative that somehow Rebecca Cook is going to get beat because she hasn't had experience in the legislature is baloney, especially against Derek Van Orten. Jane Mattinier made this point this morning. Derek Van Orten had no experience in politics before he got elected. And so the fact that Rebecca Cook doesn't have any experience probably is a huge plus for her.
Also, J.D. Vance, he has been in elected office for 18 months.
Well, sure, there's that as well. The thing is that, and also I want to get to this quickly, this whole attack that somehow Rebecca Cook is bad because she is accepting, monies from PACs. Guess what? In the 90s, my former boss, Scott Kluge, in his first reelect in 92, ran against Ada Deer, arguably a great figure in Native American politics and history of Wisconsin. But her theme was, I don't take PAC money. She got beat by Kluge 3 or 4 to 1. He was also not a great candidate, quite honestly. Great person, not a great candidate. In 2000, in the year 2000, in Madison, the 2nd District, I ran, helped run a race for John Sharpless, a liberal Republican, against Tammy Baldwin in her first congressional race. Not Senate, congressional. Tammy beat us in 2000, largely because she outraised us by taking lots of money and lots of PAC money. And last time I checked, Democrats controlled the House and the Senate in Joe Biden's first 2 years. So if they were really concerned about campaign finance reform, they could have passed something. Biden would have signed it. The Supreme Court probably would have shot it down again. But this whole narrative that Rebecca Cook isn't doing the right thing because she's playing by the rules to guess what? Win. This is like, this would be, let me put it down where the chickens could get at it, as Judge Weissman once said. This would be like, I know he's retired now, but Nick Saban, when he was the head coach of Alabama football team, one of the best in the country, saying, you know what, we need to change the way we play football. So, and then somebody says, well, you gotta put your money where your mouth is. So he'd say, all right, we're going to play by the rules as they think it should be to make it safer, while our opponents play by the rules of what it is. We'll lose by 4 touchdowns, but we'll be on the moral high ground. How long would he have had his job? Politics is the ultimate sport. It's about winning. And Rebecca Cook is doing everything she can to win. Guess what? A liberal progressive Democrat is never going to win the 3rd district. That's just fact. Because that's where I come from, and I understand the politics out there. You need a more moderate Democrat to beat Derek Van Orten. And this attack on Rebecca Cook is nonsense. Shanklin just ran a bad campaign, and now she's got caught with her political pants down, and she's nervous about it. Cook's going to win. You mark my words. Back after this on the All Ball Show. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock TGIF Friday, August 2nd, 2024. Mr. Zommer is dialing up a little Van Halen by request from our next guest. Back on the show, always appreciate it when he was here, from crack.com, Mr. Keegan Kelly. How the heck are you?
I'm great, Todd. How are you?
That's good. You feel a little Van Halen today? Was that was on your mind today?
Yeah. It's Friday. The sun's shining where I am. I wanted to get the blood pumping a little bit.
Nothing wrong with that. We talked a little politics here last half hour, so turn the page a little bit. Talk about the lighter. I think that's people. Here's what people tell me. We talked about this in the last segment, I've been spending a lot of the summer on the road, which is fantastic, because when you get out and listen to people and talk to people, you find out what they really think. And here's one of the things people say to me. They say, Todd, I can't watch or listen to that much news. I turn it off because it just gets depressing. It's overwhelming, and I don't feel like I can do anything about it. And they say, Todd, don't always talk about the serious part of life. And so I think that's great advice. So we have you to come on to talk expertly about the lighter things in life with all the great things you do at crack.com, and we appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you, Todd.
It's just a love fest here on a Friday afternoon, the 2nd of August. All right, King and Kelly, what do you got for us here? I know the first thing we're going to talk about, I think, is Office Space. I have to admit, I was not a regular viewer. I've not seen this before. Explain to people what Office Space is and what this article you got going on at Cracked is all about.
Sure. So Office Space is a comedy movie from 1999. It's basically the perfect encapsulation of the cubicle culture and the corporate grind of white-collar life at the time. And it's kind of taken on this life, you know, a quarter century later, where people still quote it who work in the kinds of jobs that are represented in it. The movie, it's a little dated with the premises, but it focuses on this character, Peter. He works in a tech job. His job is to update banking computers for Y2K. So maybe not quite as relevant today as it was 25 years ago, but it's really about is just kind of the malaise that comes with sitting in a cubicle, you know, going endless meetings, getting ragged by your boss for a cover sheet that you didn't turn in. It's just, you know, the paper pushers and all that. But really, when I was rewatching it recently, and I've had jobs like the ones represented in Office Space, I've sat in those cubicles, and I was realizing, you know, if you could get that job in 2024, you would be set.
Right?
Because, oh, absolutely. Because, you know, let's walk through kind of what Peter complains about in Office Space.
Let me give the headline of this story, because it's a great headline. I'm not sure if you wrote it or somebody else, but it's Peter's gig in Office Space is, unironically, an amazing job for 2024.
that was all me, and I believe every word of it. Because, you know, you look at what he actually does, and there's an amazing scene. It's one of my favorite scenes in any comedies, where he comes in and he talks to these two corporate consultants who are in charge of downsizing for Peter's company. Mm-hmm. And he tells them straight up, I do 15 minutes of work every day. I come in half an hour late and I leave early. You know, this job is understimulating. I don't care. And not only do they not downsize him, they give him a raise. They give him stock options. And they tell his boss that he's in line for you know, upper management, because he's a straight shooter.
Right.
And, you know, you look at what Peter's day is, all he does is 15 minutes of work. He puts a cover sheet on a TPS report, and then he sits and zones out. And in 2024, a lot of companies like Peter's, they have either a work from home setup or a hybrid setup. If you could get that job and log on to your computer for 15 minutes a day and get full benefits and stock options and a salary, you would do everything in your power to hold on as tight as possible. You wouldn't try to defraud your company.
Right.
You wouldn't go work construction. You'd go fishing every day and set up a little hot spot for your laptop right on the canoe.
Right. And who is to say some days I don't do that? No, I don't. We have hot spots, but I have thought about doing this show from a kayak one time. I don't know. That's my goal at some point this year. We'll see. But you make the great point, because now in 2024, especially post-pandemic, right, I mean, there's this big struggle now with people who went work from home, and now some of these bigger companies are like, no, you got to show up, dude. Like we want you back here. But I think people forget what, you know, that didn't live through it, what the 90s and early 2000s were like, and it was a much different office culture than we have today.
Oh, sure. And, you know, the big thing in Office Space is the cinematographer is very... he's obsessed with these cubicles and making it seem as boring as possible. I've worked in cubicles. I've worked in what's now trendy, the open floor plan, where everyone, you know, can see each other from across the room and you share these spaces. I take the cubicle 10 times out of 10.
Really?
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing worse than the constant distractions and exposure of working in one of these like trendy offices. Where you get a big table made out of one piece of wood and everyone has to fit in it. It's a little...
like the Google workspaces and stuff, you know. They're very, very chic, very modern. But, you don't have your own space.
Absolutely. And you're distracted and there's no privacy. I take the cubicles 10 times out of 10. And I actually cited, I went out and found a bunch of articles by, you know, I would say... like-minded individuals who did studies about the cubicle versus open floor plan, like how companies did in like productivity when they switched, they tore down the walls and made everyone make awkward eye contact with each other for 8 hours a day. And the cubicles actually came out on top in a lot of these studies in the head-to-head. It's more productive, it's more focused, there's fewer distractions, there's more privacy. So I think that the cubicle got a bad rap, in large part because of Office Space and Mike Judge, and I think we need to bring it back.
let the record show, Keegan Kelly of Crack.com wants to bring it back, the cubicle.
Absolutely.
Truth be told, I'm all with you on that. I mean, genres. Part of our office here is more, it's cubicle-ish. It's not a full cubicle in some places. I have a desk with three other people in one room, so I kind of have my own space. But I have, and Zomers will probably at this point attest, a rather loud voice. And so if I'm talking on the phone, or, I mean, historically when I've worked in offices, you know, people have said politely and sometimes not so much, shut your yap, because it's distracting, right, when you're in an open space like that.
But you have to be able to make phone calls for your job.
Right.
And so I think cubicles would be very beneficial.
Right. So I'm with you, Keegan. I'm for individual workspaces. I guess if you're like a writer's room, right, in maybe your business. I mean, if you're really, but you can do that with a conference room. You don't always have to be in the conference room setting every minute of every day.
I completely agree. And I think that, you know, something to break up the acoustics.
Yes.
I've worked with a lot of loud talkers like you. Noise canceling headphones are also a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really anything that just kind of allows people to do their own work and focus on what's in front of them, I think that's a much better way of doing business than this, like, turning every office into a Starbucks, which is what, you know, is now the popular method of organizing a company.
So you credit Office Space with the movie Office Space with shutting down the cubicle.
I certainly think that it played a part. Because it really, I mean, and I still love that movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember, you know, to my last real, you know, cubicle job, got a lot of things right with corporate culture. But when you look at the material realities, it's not, you know, mind numbing. It's not torture. It's just a kind of boring job that you don't have to expend a lot of effort in. And on my generation, that's exactly what we're looking for. Let me tell you, people want email jobs. That's what they call it now.
Is that the verbiage?
Email job. Oh, yeah. That's millennials and Gen Z. They want to do 15 minutes of work. They want to log on remotely. They want to sit around and enjoy their lives and go fishing, just like Peter. So it really is. I mean, as the youths say, Peter is goals.
I like that. If you want to call, if you want to talk about a little bit about this movie Office Space with Keegan Kelly and myself, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Would you prefer to work in a cubicle or an open office space? 855-752-4842. Keegan, we have Kurt in Madison listening on WMDX here. Kurt, what do you think, cubicle or open office space?
Oh, he's bringing back so many bad memories in my life. I'm in my 60s, and I've worked in all the environments, and I can tell you this much. The cubicle only has one small advantage over the other. You must have been fortunate. I've been always surrounded by, not people like Todd here, but people that would become annoying even if you were in a concreted room. So the only time I enjoyed my job is when I had a job where it involved lab work. And I tell you what, like the 15 minutes a day, I would go out of my way to figure out how to be in that lab.
Really?
Just as long as I didn't have to sit in my cube. I guess I'm one of the unfortunate ones.
No, but I think I agree, Kurt. I mean, like Keegan and I were saying, I mean, I don't mind collaborating with people, but like when I'm writing or whatever for my own personal stuff, like I want my own space. I don't want to be distracted.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the memories, I guess.
Thanks for bringing back the bad memories. Thank you, Kurt. We appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Talking with Keegan Kelly of Crack.com about Peter's gig in Office Space, which is unironically, as the headline says, an amazing job for 2024. Mark in Pertisac. Mark, what do you think? Cubicle or open office space?
Yeah, well, I started my career with a semi-open office space at the DNR where they had kind of sectioned off. Mm. There'd be a group of desks and then a wall, kind of a semi-wall, then another group of desks. And then they moved to cubicles. And but we actually had, you know, kind of open on the one side, you know, for the little little hallettes that they had with the different set, you know, that going down. I could, you know, and it was convenient because, you know, some of the work I did, I worked with a colleague right across the little aisle from me that we were, you know, kind of in daily contact where we had to work, you know, work together like that. So that made it convenient. But I love the movie Office Space. My favorite part is being a gangster and beating on that printer that would not function properly. That was, I guess, my favorite part of that movie.
You
remember that part, Keegan? Is that where you're,
absolutely. But you know, it's great. Everything's paperless now. You wouldn't have to deal with the copier.
That's true, right?
Yeah. Though paper does come in handy when the computers are out and you can't get anything done at all.
Well,
it gets pretty frustrating.
And I'll tell you guys, as Amers will attest to this, it annoys some people around here. But I am a paper. We have a printer. Look, I think partly because I'm dyslexic, and when I read off of a screen, I don't read as well as when I print it out and have it in my hand. And so I print stuff all the time, don't I?
There are really good reasons to have paper, and that's one of them.
Yeah. I'm an analog guy living in a digital world. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Tom in West Dallas. Tom, we got a minute left. It's all yours.
Hold on. Make it real quick then. I was a production manager at a theater, and I shared an office with two other guys, and one of the security guys walked in and farted and left the room, and I was on with a tour manager that I've been playing phone tag with for like 2 days, so I had to stay on the phone. I have never been that angry in my life.
That's a great story. So there's a case where you would have been better off with an open office space.
Having worked in theater production, that sounds extremely believable.
Great. Appreciate it, Tom in West Dallas. Great story. Back with more at Keegan Kelly at crack.com. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show for a Friday, August 2nd, TGIF on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, the award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Matt Rothschild still a guest hosting this week yet?
Today, Brian Kelly is taking up the host
Brian
chair.
Brian Kelly, very good. Stay tuned for the wonderful Brian Kelly coming up as a guest host of the Maggie Dawn Show here after the news, weather, and sports, either ABC or CBS News at the top of the hour, depending upon which Civic Media station you are listening to. Check your weather and sports as well. And then Maggie Dawn with Brian Kelly immediately after our show from 2 until 4. Right now we have the always talented and wonderful Keegan Kelly of Cracked.com. You can see all these articles that we're talking about at Cracked. We always appreciate Keegan taking the time to stop by. Great job, by the way, this last story about Office Space. Obviously, lots of feelings. One of those things that a lot of folks relate to when you've had to work in office types of situations. So I love bits like that or stories like that that can spur like, oh, I can relate to that. Like everybody can relate to that.
Oh, yeah. It's a testament to the movie, you know? It really captured, everyone has an axe to grind with The Office.
And, of course, you know, The Office, right, the TV show based on the UK version. I mean, obviously, that's a whole other genre and capitalized on the Office environment as well. One of my favorite all-time television shows, people that know me that know this, big fan of Frasier. I believe I have almost, if not every episode or season now on the DVD. Again, an analog guy. Because here's the thing, Keegan, about streaming. You are at the behest of the corporations. If they want to do, oh, we're not going to stream that now. You're kind of SOL. And so that's why I'm still a DVD Blu-ray guy.
No, that's smart, and I've had that problem with plenty of shows. The Office, not the least of which, moved from Netflix to Peacock. Yeah, it's I got to invest in a library like you.
Well, thanks to my dad in part, because I inherited, I mean, he's still with us, but he kind of started to clean out some things, so I inherited some of those movies. And Dahmer's will tell you, don't get me started on Peacock. That's a whole other. But let's talk about Frasier. You have a great article here on one. This one I had not heard. Here's the headline at Cracked. There's an entire online community just for people who fall asleep to Frasier. Explain, Keegan Kelly.
I'd be happy to. So there are 6,000 individuals out there who identify as Frasier sleepers. Now, what this is, most of these people came to this independently. Some of them found it online, but they all convene in this community on Reddit, and they discuss how they have all personally found Frasier to be the best insomnia cure. Now,
is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm not sure.
I haven't quite decided myself either. Now, I also struggle with insomnia sometimes, and I have tried Frasier sleeping since they suggested it to me. Mm-hmm. It's not quite my bag. I prefer, you know, a nice cup of tea and maybe a chapter of a book. But
all right, yeah.
There are thousands of Frasier fans out there who swear by certain seasons, certain episodes, whatever their bag is. There's debates on it all the time about what the best season of Frasier is.
To fall asleep to.
To fall asleep to. And there are also, my favorite part, there are many warnings. They have cataloged exactly which episodes have fire alarms or car horns honking as, oh yeah, so like to avoid. And they'll plan it out. If you're trying to get 8 hours, you start season 2, episode 3, and it'll take you right up to, you know, the episode before a loud one. So there's little pockets of Frasier that people have found. It's the perfect lullaby. It just puts them right out.
That is astounding. Now, see, friends that really know me well know that Todd is, I have the opposite problem. I'm like borderline narcoleptic. I can have a cup of coffee and sit in a chair and start watching Colbert or whatever out in 5 minutes. I'm just, you know, so I have the opposite problem. So I can fall asleep to almost anything. But as a fan of Frasier, I mean, you know, they have very soothing voices. Maybe that's part of it.
Absolutely. You know, Kelsey Grammer's baritone.
Right.
It's perfect. It's got that oaky richness.
Mm, that's a great
And it's also, and it's not one of those shows that kind of like, you know, you look at a Friends or even a Seinfeld, they kind of have to go over the top. Sometimes they go a little too big to get the laugh. Mm-hmm. It can get slapsticky. It can get loud. But Frasier, it's all in the dialogue.
Yes.
So there's really, you know, he gets, you know, worked up, and sometimes tempers get heated. But generally speaking, they keep an even keel.
Yes.
You know, it's their wit. It's the storytelling, I guess.
And I've said so many times in this program, I'm just a huge fan of great writing. I don't care if it's movies or television or books or articles, songs, anything that's well written. I mean, and because it's rare. Something that's really well written is rare. I mean, you write for yourself. You will look at writing, agree or disagree.
I mean, I've been trying for years to get one, and it hasn't worked out for me yet.
I wouldn't say that. You have some fine writing. but I think when you come upon a show like Frasier, I would say particularly the later seasons of MASH is another one that I just think is so well written. But Frasier is, and of course, part of it is the interaction of David Hyde Pierce and Kelsey Grammer and those folks. But you're right. So much of the hilarity in what gets you is the writing, and it's not. That's what made it special to me. That show is that it didn't have to go over the top most of the time to get the laugh.
Absolutely, and I think one of the benefits of a show like that is they write smart characters.
Yes.
Even the characters, like even his father, he's supposed to be the straight man, the kind of counterbalance, but he's still an intelligent person. And it's these characters who are playing to the top of their wit. And I think that's just, it's such a rarity. I don't think there's an equivalent on now besides the new Frasier reboot, which I'm not personally a fan of. But I'm with you. It really was a special show. And it didn't cut any corners. It played to the height of its intelligence.
And as it turns out, apparently a great show to fall asleep to for some people.
Oh, yeah. No, that I remember when I was a kid, it probably would have done the same thing when my parents were watching it, and I didn't get the references. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, try it out if you're late tonight.
Look at that. You tune into this show, you're going to find all kinds of things, maybe a way to prevent your insomnia. Dial up an episode of Frasier. Might work for you. If not, you'll get a great laugh nonetheless. Always great to have laughs with you, Keegan Kelly. You can find all this at cracked.com. Thank you so much, Keegan. We always appreciate you taking the time. Great job, as always.
Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure. Also, thanks to Brady Ewing for being on the show today, Mr. Zomers, and again to Pat Kreitlow, Luke Mathers, and Mom, and also Dr. David Upton at UW Health for getting these ears back in tune. To all of you for listening, stay tuned now. Brian Kelly filling in for Maggie Dawn. Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you next week.